Welcome y'all to Backwoods Obscura, a podcast dedicated to the lore, legends, and myths surrounding the creatures that may lurk in your backyard. My name's Hewitt.
I'm Chris. How you doing, man?
It's been a good long day.
Yeah, I know how that feels. Actually, I spent most of the day sleeping. I was supposed to go fishing, but I spent it sleeping.
I mowed my yard, the backyard of my next door neighbors, and then took the kids to the zoo.
Thank you for making me feel inadequate.
I'm tired, because after that I also had a 9-year-old and a 7-month-old by myself.
To be fair, well, you have a lot to deal with, but also, like, after this week, just after work-related stuff, me and Ruby were just like, let's just take an extended, you know, sleep day.
Take a me day.
Just take a me day.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I'm glad that you had fun at the zoo, though. Did you see anything interesting over there?
Llamas.
Who doesn't like a good llama?
There's 3 llamas. The sloth was hiding. Also, we got capybaras at the zoo now.
We got capybaras?
Yeah. My son went, giant rat! And I'm like, technically not wrong.
I mean, is what it is.
But do you want to know what made the trip just slightly awkward?
What's that?
My son asked me where the tortoise is doing, and I heard the noise made by the velociraptors in Jurassic Park.
Oh. Oh, no.
Also, there's like a whole group of little kids over where the ostriches are. And it's that season. Also, the baboons were moving into being in heat. So a bunch of red butts. And my son, what's going on? Don't worry about it. Keep going.
Just go. I mean, that's the thing about Mother Nature. You can't control when it decides to fuck.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, what are we talking about tonight?
Oh, well, I have a very good story for you. Have you ever heard of the Carter brothers?
I haven't, actually. I was going to try to make a joke, but I don't think I have.
Okay, so let me tell you a little story. The story of the Carter brothers. It was 1932. A young girl comes running down the road to a pair of police officers. She tells the officers that 2 men had kidnapped her, tied her up, and held her captive to drink her blood. Also, that there were other victims. She said that she escaped due to the careless knot tying by her captors, since she was smaller than the other victims. Now, initially, the officers thought she might be lying.
Of course, yeah.
But they noticed that she's very pale, very thin, gaunt, sallow, even. Also, that she has bandages on her forearm. So the officers reluctantly follow her back to a house on the corner of Royal and St. Anne.
Can I just say one thing?
Yes.
It's like, I thought she was lying until I saw that she was, like, literally drained of blood.
Yeah. Owned by the Carter brothers, John and Wayne. What they found made their blood run cold. 4 other victims were tied to chairs in various stages of exsanguination. Their wrists had been bandaged as if to prevent them from dying. In the back room, 14 more bodies were found wrapped in blankets, which could not hide the sweet, sweet smell of death. Especially in the summer in New Orleans.
Okay, so you say sweet smell of death. I'm pretty sure the smell of death is pretty bad.
Oh, no. Finding a dead carcass of any sort always smells bad, but it's also like they say the sweet smell of death. Okay, you know when, like, rotten fruit?
Yeah, okay, so you're talking about sickly sweet.
Yes.
Okay. That's even worse, almost.
The victims reported that the brothers would leave early before sunrise and return after dark. They would then remove the bandages and use knives to reopen the wounds until the blood flowed freely, and they would drink it in cups to sate their hunger. They would then bandage their food source and leave them without a word. The victims were all taken to Charity Hospital. The police set an ambush for the brothers and waited in the house. When the brothers entered, they were assailed by 8 to 10 officers, depending on who asks and depending who tells the story, but escaped by jumping from the 3rd floor balcony and hitting the street. This surprised the officers because the brothers were small men, standing maybe 5'6" at max, and they had jumped from a third-story balcony, hit the ground, and ran, and overpowered many much larger officers. In fact, depending on the story, one of the officers might have even died. This led many to believe that they might just be vampire, which they may or may not have been. But here's the deal. They definitely were not smart, because they went to work the next morning at the docks.
Okay, what if they're vampires, why are they going to work the next morning?
A lot of sunscreen, and also, do you know what it's
okay,
like?
Okay, so is this like a Blade situation where the...
I don't know, but here's the deal. They're also renting a house on the corner of Royal.
Oh my god, really?
Vampires, like, look, if you're a vampire and you haven't made billions of dollars in the centuries you've been alive, walk into the sun.
But why would you still set up on Royal?
Dude, you're in New Orleans. Are you not going to get a swank place?
I would get a swank place in a area that is not...
In the French Quarter?
Yeah, not in the French Quarter.
Anyway, so fucking... they went to work the next morning. And they were wrestled to the ground by 8 officers, one of which had his ribs broken and one had his thigh broken.
Okay, so wait. So what kind of job did they have?
They unloaded boats.
Okay, so they were like dock workers
mm-hmm.
that had a swank place on Royal.
Yes.
And they were vampires.
Yes.
And they decided to just go to work.
Yes. You know what's scarier than a vampire? A landlord.
That's true. That's actually...
That's the worst cryptid out there. The elusive landlord. They disappear every time repairs have to happen.
Yeah, we've actually eluded the landlord for a few years now.
Now, once they were in custody, they admitted every crime they committed. They begged to be executed for their crimes to stop them from killing again. As their bloodlust was so strong, they were tried as serial killers and hung within the week. However, when another member of their family died and was meant to be placed in the tomb, there were no bodies of John and Wayne found within the ostuary holding.
Ah.
The new occupant of the apartment then reported seeing two figures arguing on the balcony, complaining about the locks being changed. When they turned on the bright lights, it scared the two figures, who then leapt and ran down the street into the darkness.
Off the third story?
Yeah, second time. I mean, they were done once, man.
Yeah, true, true.
Now, it is rumored that they may still return to their hunting ground when Mardi Gras occurs to feed upon tourists and those that have decided to engage in the debaucherous Babylon that is known as the city of New Orleans.
I mean, a good time to do it, yeah. Really.
So, that's the story of the Carter brothers.
Okay,
serial killer, vampiric, longshore workers...
Yeah, okay, so we talk about...
With a swank-ass apartment.
They had a swank-ass apartment on Royal in the French Quarter. For those of you who don't know, Royal is in the French Quarter. And...
It has a price tag.
It has pretty expensive price
tag. It has a I've been in a Marvel movie price tag.
Yeah. And they were also dock workers?
Yes.
Which is funny, because...
Well, also, go back to the 1930s. The French Quarter wasn't that expensive.
I think it was still more expensive for dock
workers.
Well,
no, it was. It might have been for dock workers, but you got two brothers making money.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that the French Quarter was run down for a very long time before they started making it into a tourist area. So, more or less, it's like all the people that move in the Flamborg.
Flamborg.
It's between the French Quarter and going into the Ninth Ward.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The hipster neighborhood now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, here's the deal. There is literally no evidence that the Carter brothers ever existed.
Oh, it's one of those episodes where we're just like straight up like...
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead. Here's the truth. It's an urban legend. It's an urban legend that's out there because it's the 1930s. What's happening in 1932 other than the Depression in New Orleans?
I'd assume that New Orleans is actually on the upswing in terms of...
Well, it's a party city.
Yeah.
It's full of jazz. It's full of bars.
I mean, we already talked about when it comes to the Axeman, there was already, like, you know, some party town shit going on.
New Orleans is, look, here's the deal. When Prohibition hit, New Orleans never, ever went dry.
Yeah.
Prohibition could not stop New Orleans from drinking.
You can't stop that city from drinking.
No, you can't stop the state of Louisiana from drinking. We have drive-through daiquiri places that their version of a closed container is they fold the straw over and tape it.
Yo, I just want to talk about this on the podcast because you remember my friend Paul from Tennessee. When he first came down here a few years ago, I was like, yeah, let's go get something to drink. And just as a joke, I don't really drink margaritas, but we went to one of the barns here. And, you know, we just went to the... This is a drive-through
liquor store. It's not just... If you're talking about the barns where we live at, they're not just a drive-through daiquiri or margarita place. They are drive-through liquor stores.
Yeah. So we went in there, and he's sitting there like, okay, what did we get? And I'm like, oh, look over there. And it's a whole fucking list of shit. And I'd say, oh, if you want to get a beer, it's over there. And it's just...
It's a glass case of just six-packs and 12-packs.
So he was like just... Wrote off at the fact that, like, we got 2 6-packs and then 2 daiquiris.
And left.
And the thing is, it's the daiquiris are... The way they're quote-unquote sealed is that it is a styrofoam cup with a lid on it. And the way that it is legally sealed in Louisiana is that you just put a piece of tape over where you open it.
Yeah, or you can put the straw in, fold the straw over, and tape it. Or, like the one that's out here near where I live, they just put the lid on it and say, don't put the straw in, it's closed.
Yeah.
And if an officer pulls you over, they go, well, it's closed.
Yeah.
No straw in it. But anyway, so New Orleans is a party town. This is a way to... make people understand, don't go out and party too much. It's a cautionary. It's the hook man.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the, and then they'll get you type of things. But
it's a story that we've talked about before.
Right, but here's the deal. The reason that we know that the Carter brothers never existed, there are no records of a John or a Wayne Carter being executed in or around 1931 to 1933. There's not an arrest record for a Carter at that time.
We would have records by then.
So, the thing is if this had been, like, if you said this happened in 1880, 1890, it'd become way more believable. But when you get to the 1930s...
The 1900s in general is when you start seeing records.
Actual documentation would happen. Now, the other versions of this story are the Carson brothers, the Cartier brothers... And there's even one I saw seen as the Gonzalez brothers. So a little bit of anti-immigration.
Of course. With that. Of course. It's the South.
But here's the deal. If you go through these names, there's still no evidence of an arrest. There's still no evidence of a execution. The other thing that undermines this story is the term serial killer didn't start getting used for anything like this till the 1970s. So you couldn't have them put on trial to be a, you know, serial killer because the term serial killer didn't...
Yeah, the term serial killer is actually fairly recent because it was only until recently that we were able to actually track people who would do such crimes.
So, again, this is a cautionary tale to say don't go out and enjoy the extremely crazy nightlife, or don't go out and get super sloshed during the Great Depression. It also is to tell kids to stay inside. But here's the deal. You know what this story is really, really good at?
What's that?
Getting tourists to go, ooh, ah, spooky next to a really pretty building on a ghost tour.
Even if we're talking about the Lullery Mansion, or if we're talking about anything else, any sort of ghost tour, any sort of story in New Orleans, you bring a tourist near a fancy looking building near or in the French Quarter, and you say, wow, some people were murdered here. There's ghosts. People are like, wow, cool, yeah.
Spooky.
Even I do that. I'm from Louisiana. I've been on
ghost tours. Look, ghost tours are actually fun.
They're fun. Yeah.
They're fun.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. because we've gone through this, and we can already go ahead and say the Carter Brothers is 100% not real. It's an urban legend that's created.
It's not like
having the stuff from Saint Germain that's, you know, more than likely an urban legend, but still connected to a dope historical figure.
Yeah,
but
there's at least a level of like mystery there,
right,
with Saint Germain. With this, it seems like, okay, well, there's no real historical anchor.
I'm not gonna lie, this has like kind of the vibes of AI wrote this horror story, vampire longshore workers that have a French Quarter apartment.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say anything, but like when you were talking about like dock workers that are,
yeah,
also like they live in the French Quarter, like I know I'm thinking of in modern terms, and you said that like back in the day the French Quarter wasn't as wealthy, but even back then I wouldn't expect like dock workers to be living in the French Quarter,
right? But here's the deal, let's break this down, because we've done this a couple times recently. We've mentioned the Axeman, we've,
yeah,
mentioned Saint Germain, we mentioned the Grunch.
Yeah.
These are all urban legends. I mean, like, even when I mentioned the Devil's Toy Box, these are all urban legends. So what element of this makes it a good urban legend?
Well, when it comes to the story itself, I think it kind of just blends itself into the New Orleans lore.
It very much kind of chameleons its way into,
yeah,
the city.
When it comes to New Orleans, everyone considers New Orleans to be, and as an extension, Louisiana has a kind of aura about it. It's a southern state, but it's also the state that's considered the spooky state.
We're weird.
Yeah, we're the weird state. And you hear something like that, you would hear that in any other state, you'd be like, that's a bit far-fetched. Like, if you consider the context of everything going on. But if you hear it in Louisiana, unless you had a idea of Louisiana, like I said, we've been to the French Quarter, we've been to New Orleans, we've been all over the state, and we can have a context of this story. And unless you have that context of the story, it seems to make sense if you're just listening to it. It's like, oh, the Carter brothers were these vampires that lived on Royal or in the French Quarter. You probably
if you just say vampire in New Orleans, everybody's like, yeah.
Yeah. These vampires that hunted people in New Orleans. If you talk about Saint Germain, you don't even have to say like he was a vampire. You could just say he was a blood drinker in New Orleans, and people would be like,
"Yeah,
oh yeah, yeah, that makes sense."
Well, here's the deal: even if you take the vampire aspect out of it, you have serial killers in New Orleans that are,
yeah,
semi cannibalistic because they're drinking the liquid meat.
Hell, there's even like post Katrina, and we're not going to get into.
No, we're not going to do that story.
We're not going to do that story specifically, but I'm just talking about there's even real. We're not a true crime podcast. We're never going to get into that. Like, but there's even stories like that out of New Orleans that have gotten like,
right,
more attention than they probably should.
100%.
Because it's New Orleans, and New Orleans is like that spooky place that people like to talk about. Like, even places like Atlanta and Tallahassee and all these other places in the South that are probably similar in terms of, like...
Well, I don't know if I know exactly where you're going with, but the thing you got to kind of...
I'm saying that, like, places where you see, like, things happen. Like, when you talk about cities, you're talking about places that where crime... Like, when I say crime, I'm talking about very particular types of crime.
Like, violent crime.
Like, violent crime happens. Or, like, very esoteric crime in the sense that, like, you're talking about serial killers, or you're talking about people that do, like, criminal acts that are just outside of the norm from what we consider crime. Like, you think of a shooting, and you're like, okay, so that happens because of a very particular reason. This is outside of that. that shit happens in just about any big city, because the bigger the city, the more shit happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at New Orleans, people tend to consider it to be like this hot spot of like paranormal activity.
Part of that's also, look at the way the city looks. I mean, you go through large sections of New Orleans and it is a modern city. Hell, you go through certain parts of it and it looks like the city we live in. But when you go to the section that everybody knows is New Orleans, the French Quarter, it doesn't look American. You go to Atlanta, or you go to like Charleston, you go to like New York or Boston, they will have preserved colonial areas, but they don't.
Yeah, you go to those cities and they look the same.
They look, or it looks like something you're like, okay, that makes sense for America. And then you go to the French Quarter and you're like,
I don't feel like I'm in the right city.
You walk in, all of a sudden you go through like a courtyard, you go through a walkway, and then you're in a courtyard shared by four buildings that has like a fountain in the middle of it. And that's very European.
And there's things that happen in the French Quarter. Like last time I was in the French Quarter, you know, there's a wedding happening and they're, you know, they actually do the dance and I forget what it's called.
They do the parade.
Yeah, they do the actual parade and everything. You don't see that in other cities.
No. So, I mean, one, the setting of New Orleans makes it a good.
Yeah.
Two,
the way people talk about,
the way it's described fits within the city. But also, be honest, let's take Royal and say Broadway. The story still fits if you said the Carter brothers were in New York.
I don't know. I think longshoremen
that have like an apartment above like a place that's on a busy street. It could still work. Also, cops not paying attention. That's tropes anywhere.
I mean, when if you go into any true crime, I am one of those people that actually likes true crime. It's kind of like a guilty pleasure for me, but the through line for any true crime, like interesting true crime stuff, is that it's always cops being incompetent.
But, I mean, the thing here is that you hit some good notes. Captured people. I mean, it also gives me a little bit of, like, the Sultan's Palace vibe.
You've heard the Sultan's Palace
story. So, I mean, I think it's a good urban legend. It's a good spooky story. Because it hits a couple of those elements, but, again,
it's a fun little flavor to add into New York.
Right. So, I mean, this isn't like the Lutan. It's not like the Kushma, which I will say both of those are real.
Oh, the Kushma, I am... Like, okay,
well, you're well versed and well acquainted.
Yeah, like I have had many a nights with what they would call the Kushma, and please, like, I'm on different medication. Don't come at me. It's gonna happen tonight. Watch.
Well, no. Here's the thing: is though, it's like there's like, because I mean, we've mentioned in other episodes that we've had friends talk about how harsh, especially I am on certain things. But this is urban legend. There's some things that we've mentioned that are real. There's some things I will say that's stupid, but hey, I'm not going out in the swamp to find them. But this is a good urban legend. This is a fun story.
I like the idea of a urban legend that is just, it's fun. It's fun to kind of indulge in it, even if you don't really believe in it. Which I can get behind that. It's certainly not like the last one we recorded, but we won't get into that.
No. Anyway, did you enjoy this little story?
I did enjoy it. Hopefully next time we go into New Orleans, we can see maybe where the Carter brothers were living.
Yeah, we need to check out where that spot was.
Anyway, if you're just listening to us, we are also Team Bonus Action, if you want to get into that.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, YouTube, Blue Sky, Threads as Team Bonus Action. You can find us on Twitter as bonus_team. You can also find us at our website, teambonusaction.com. We are a charity podcast and streaming for D&D and other tabletop games. Currently, at the time of this recording, we are partnered with the Trevor Project. Very soon, we're probably going to be partnered with either St. Jude or... I just blanked on the reading charity we did last year. But all of our charities are associated with children and helping them have a safe place to live, additional educational resources, or helping try to kick the hell out of cancer.
Hell yeah. If you're listening to this exclusively for Backwoods Obscura, we are Backwoods Obscura on Facebook, on Blue Sky, hopefully on Twitter, and other I'm still trying to figure out where else we're going to be, hopefully on Instagram and all that. But we're going to be setting up all of our social media soon. Until then, I hope you have a good day, night, or whatever time it is.
Hey, drive safe.